Hello, everyone, and welcome to the leadership podcast called My Great Aunt Edna, the leadership show that focuses on excellence, doing things the right way, no shortcuts, and accountability. I'm your host, Mac McNeil, and I have a very special guest to meet with me today who is extremely unique in the conversation I had with him, and you'll understand why he's on the show here in just a minute. But I want to introduce Jay Hagler. Jay Hagler is a registered archaeologist, an educator, and a writer. He's a founding board member of Diving with a Purpose and the Society of Black Archaeologists. And yes, I said diving with a purpose on purpose because Jay dives. He's a master diver. He's a skilled craftsman, and he's also an interesting brother. So with that, I want to introduce Jay Hagler. Jay, welcome to the show, sir.
Well, thank you very much. It's a pleasure for me to be on your show.
Thank you. Thank you. So you and I had the opportunity to have a conversation, you know, before we did this recording, and you told me about yourself. You know, you're a diver, a master diver. And of course, the first thought, you know, when we hear that and we see your brother, you know, we think about the movie and, you know, the master diver that was in the Navy. And really, that's the only thing we know about it. And most of us anyway, and I'll speak for myself. But after my conversation with you, I was extremely intrigued about what you do, why you do, and where you are now. So if you don't mind, tell the audience a little bit about yourself, like going into the background of one, how you got into diving, and then what do you do now with it?
Yes. How I got into diving here is my first career actually was as an engineer. So it was technical in nature. And while vacationing in the Caribbean, my wife and I really discovered, we took an introduction to scuba course, and we were able to, for the first time, get on scuba equipment and breathe underwater, that which was over 20 years ago. That started my journey on the place to where I am today, actually from changing careers from engineering, actually moving to scuba diving and as a scientific diver. So, you know, from that experience, when I came back to my hometown in Washington, D.C., we noticed that there was a lack of African-Americans or people of color that were in the sport. And just I so happened to meet a group of African-American scuba divers at a wedding event. And once I met them, that was all the inspiration I needed for me to learn how to scuba dive and then move forward to become a professional diver.
So you're telling me that there is a community of Black people who dive and go underwater on purpose, deep down, right? And you go deep, and we're going to talk about that in a minute. But, you know, a group of Black individuals that do this, not only for sport, because you mentioned the word sport, but you've turned it into a career and a science as well. So can you tell me about the foundation of that group and then where that group is now?
Yes. Not only a group, there is a whole nation of Black scuba divers. Actually, there is the National Association of Black Scuba Divers, which actually brings African-American scuba divers and people of color from all over this nation actually together. So the National Association of Scuba Divers was founded in 1991, believe it or not. Okay. And the co-founder is one of the co-founders is Dr. Albert Jose Jones. And the other co-founder is Mr. Rick Powell. But believe it or not, there was an organization that preceded the National Association of Black Scuba Divers, or what we call NABS, N-A-B-S. And that organization is the Underwater Adventure Seekers. It was founded by Dr. Jones in 1959.
Wow.
Yes, there were Black folk diving in 1959. And Dr. Jones He is a marine biologist, and he's famous in and of himself because he is the only African American diver that has been inducted into International Scuba Diving Hall of Fame. And so we had the privilege, myself and my wife, actually to be trained by Dr. Jones. So this being trained by Dr. Jones is analogous to being taught how to play basketball by Michael Jordan or LeBron James. So we are privileged and have an honor of actually being taught by Dr. Jones and look to carry his legacy.
So that is a very interesting story. Going back to 1959, obviously that's something that wasn't talked about a lot in history books. I didn't know that we were doing that. But many people of color associate diving when we hear black divers with Carl Brashear. The true story about his life, and we saw what he did in a big heavy suit. Going down and basically walking the floor of the ocean. But what's the difference between that and actually what you're doing right now?
Yes. So Carl Brashear, and by the way, Dr. Jones actually worked with Carl Brashear and dove with Carl Brashear and subsequently with his son, who was also a Navy diver. But Carl Brashear was doing what we call military diving. Military diving is done in the for the pursuit of national defense. So you've heard about the Navy SEALs. You hear about the Navy salvage divers. These are the elite divers in the Navy. They are special forces. And Carl Brashear was a Navy salvage diver. And as the movie showed, he became the first Navy salvage diving instructor. All right. So this is, and so that was very, very important. He broke new ground in terms of the color barrier in military diving. Now, what we do two types of diving, which is called recreational diving and scientific diving. And now the difference between recreational diving and scientific diving, in recreational diving, we literally go down actually to observe nature, to take pictures, and to take in the wonder of the underwater world. In scientific diving, what we do is we collect data for the advancement of science, right? And so it has a specific goal and a purpose. And an example would be collecting data for coral, on coral. As you know, that coral, with the global warming or climate change, coral is endangered and bleaching occurs. And so collecting this data helps scientists find out ways in which we can protect the coral reef. So that is the difference. So if we look at the three categories of diving, we have military diving, which is focused on national defense. We have recreational diving, which is focused on actually having fun and enjoying the underwater world. And then we have scientific diving, which is diving to collect data for the advancement of science.
So thank you for that clarification. And something that I know about you that I think all the listeners would be interested to know about is that when you talk about scientific diving and thinking about historical, uncovering and things of that nature, you actually dive for slave wrecks. Is that correct?
That is correct. And the field that we do it in is called maritime archaeology. And what maritime archaeology is literally looking for and documenting shipwrecks, all right, and telling the human story of shipwrecks. And now, what I do with both Diving with a Purpose and the Society of Black Archaeologists is that we particularly focus on looking for and documenting and conserving ships that were involved in the global slave trade. And so that is a particular type of ships. And so, and in doing that, what we hope to do and what we look to do is literally tell the human story of those human beings on those ships and connect those stories to the descendants, connect those stories to America, and actually connect those stories to the world. Because as you know, slavery was not just North America phenomenon, it was a global phenomenon. So what we do as maritime archaeologists is that we find these ships, we document these ships, we research these ships, and then we tell the story of these ships and the people that were on board.
So that is extremely interesting. When I think about diving, that wasn't one of my thoughts, that, we have people that are actually looking for slave ships and to tell that story. I think about maybe, looking at some sharks or studying sharks or, understanding the floor, the surface of the ocean, understand the minerals that are in it. But actually looking for slave ships, that is so remarkable to me because I have a passion for the African diaspora, our story, our history, and then where we're going. And I know you do as well. So talk to us a little bit about how you tie your own passion for the African diaspora into what you're doing and then what you're thinking about, going forward.
Yes. So as you know, in biology, the Earth is seven, Earth's surface is covered 70% by water and 30% by land. And consequently, our bodies are made up of 70% of water and 30% of skin, bones, and that. So when you think about the two, human beings and the ocean environment are symbiotic. They really are symbiotic. And even though we cannot breathe, we need equipment to breathe underwater. But once we are submerged, guess what? We are actually one. So the ocean actually tells a human story. And so what I think is fascinating, what I'm passionate about, is the largest forced migration in the history of mankind had to do with the transatlantic slave trade. Not a lot is spoken about that. And why is that? Well, obviously there's a real tragedy. Now, when you look at just the sheer numbers of the transatlantic slave trade alone, there is a transatlantic slave trade database that is hosted by Rice University. And if you literally actually Google that, and you will go to a website where they have documented slave ships that came, that was a part of the transatlantic slave trade. And a part of this documentation, we find out that approximately 12.5 million people that were of African descent that were actually Africans in this slave trade between 1550 and the 1800s. And what we know through research and database, there are about 1,000 ships that sank that with Africans on board. Now, let's look at the real universe. This database also tells us that in that time period, over 36,000 voyages, literally on approximately 12,000 ships, were involved in this trade. Now think about it. If 1,000 of these ships are wrecked, they had a wrecking event. And guess how many, Matt, have actually been found and documented?
How many? I have no idea.
Less than 10.
Whoa.
So there's an untold story about people of African descent, about their journey across this ocean that hasn't been told. And what we do as maritime archaeologists, we look to tell that story. So that is how I've kind of gotten into it, being an African American and a son of two educators. My family background actually starts, my parents were from South Carolina, so which was one of a major trading port during the colonial period. All right. And education was a very important part. In my family, I come from a family of five generations on both sides of my family who are educators. So marrying education with knowledge or the lack of knowledge about the African diaspora, that became that need that what attracted me to this, to tell this story, to tell this story to our community, but also tell the story to the world.
Extremely important. So you're talking about education. I'm going to transition into the next thing I know about you, and that you're a lecturer. So you lecture at UCLA, Stanford University, UCSD down in San Diego. Exactly what are you lecturing on? Is it this? Are you teaching biology, marine biology? What are you teaching the students?
Well, I literally focus on the African diaspora and the work that we do with slave wrecks. We are Diving with a Purpose is a part of an international collaboration called the Slave Wrecks Project. And the Slave Wrecks Project actually has is a collaboration of five international institutions: the Smithsonian Institution's National Museum of African American History and Culture, Diving with a Purpose, the George Washington University, the United States National Park Service, and Ezekiel Museums of South Africa. So think the Smithsonian of South Africa. So what we do collectively is we go around the globe and we look for, document, and look to preserve vessels that were involved in the global slave trade. So in my lecturing, we talk about that. We talk about the need to document and to preserve these submerged heritage resources, and most importantly, to get the community involved, to get the local community involved, to get the national community involved, to get the global community involved. And that type of conversation is important at our nation's university. So this is what we talk about and lecture on at our universities: UCLA, Stanford, University of California, San Diego, and Scripps Institution.
So my great aunt Edna, again, is the leadership platform, stands for excellence, doing things the right way, no shortcuts, and accountability. And as I hear you speak, what comes to mind is accountability. Like what you do is holding the human race accountable for what happened and and telling that story. And I find that fascinating that, this is a it's a career. It's actually what you do. And I know you've traveled the world doing this, and we talked about, some of the places that, you've been able to dive. So can you elaborate and just let the listeners know, like, where have you been, and what are some of the most interesting places in the world that you've been able to dive?
Yes, we do a lot of work in Mozambique, Africa. That's where one of our areas of that we focus on in terms of the transatlantic slave trade. France, we've been to Australia, we've been to most of the islands, all the islands in the Caribbean, which includes Mexico, which includes Brazil, which includes Central America and Belize. And so all of these things, including also the coast of the West Coast in California. So all of these locations have one common thread. And that common thread is literally people of African descent have all been through all those locations and have made significant impacts in the development of those communities and the development of those economies. And so that story is not told. I want to say one other thing. We're doing some really interesting work in France with the United States Department of Defense, in which we are looking for and researching for World War II aircraft wreckage. And among this wreckage, a few of these planes are associated with the Tuskegee Airmen, the famous Tuskegee Airmen. So again, the submerged environments and people of African descent really, really is important, and it's an untold story. It's something that you don't see or hear in our history books, and it's not a part of our curriculum. And so this is one of the things that we hope to change here. And personally, I hope to be a part of that catalyst to change that, educating our community and the community writ large on these stories.
I would love to see a movie one day, come out of something like this. I'm not a Hollywood producer, but my mind is spinning right now. Like, I guarantee there's a story, a true story We can tie together some historical facts and piece together a story that brings awareness to, the work that you're doing and the importance of it. I want to talk about now, we started out the conversation and I was being a little tongue in cheek about, black people and diving in a community of it, but I already know that there's one that exists. But how do people that may have an interest in diving, and I know you teach it now, but how do they actually get started, get involved? Is it just going on one of the excursions while they're out and, hanging out in Jamaica? Or do they need to come see a professional like you, and learn how to do it properly?
Well, that's a great question. So the very first thing I think in pursuit of becoming a scuba diver is actually something basic to something that we do every day or at least every summer is swimming. All right. Because that's a baseline of diving. As a matter of fact, a part of the what I call the journey to scuba diving starts with swimming and then it moves to snorkeling and then it moves to scuba diving. Now, if you think about it, almost everyone, particularly African Americans, have been at a local pool, growing up, on their vacation. They go to the beach, and particularly on their vacation in the Caribbean, they'll do some snorkeling. So when you think about it, most people have done two-thirds of the work to become scuba diving, okay? Now, so I would say, literally being comfortable in the water is very important. So swimming, and I'm not saying you have to get to a level where you are, trying out for the US Olympic team, all right? Specifically, just comfortable enough to swim back and forth in a pool without stopping and using any stroke. All right. So as long as when you start to get comfortable with doing that and being able to tread water, which is basically staying in one area and staying afloat, keeping your head above water, for approximately 10 minutes. If you're able to do that, then you have the baseline to actually go and start to snorkel. And swimming and snorkeling is very, very similar, except for you have a tube in your mouth and you have a mask. And that you have your head in the water all of the time, and you can swim and look down. Now, the next thing is moving to scuba diving. All right. Now, in order to move to scuba diving, you can do swimming and snorkeling kind of on your own, or get lessons at your local pool or the YMCA. There are plenty of or local colleges and high school. But to move into scuba diving, you do need to be trained. You need to be trained by a professional. And you can find those professionals like me in a lot of different locations. One, there are local dive shops that actually give lessons. Or what I would prefer, particularly people of color, I would prefer that they go on the internet and look for a local NAVS club, National Association of Black Scuba Divers Club, is probably in your city or close in your area, and see when they actually start the next, training session. And usually there is an opportunity to do a introductory course like my wife and I did over 20 years ago. So you can get, see what it feels like to be underwater breathing for the first time. And that way you get to know, okay, I think I'd like to do this. And then you can go with a certified instructor, and this certified instructor will take you through the process in order to become certified as a scuba diver, which doesn't take long. It can be as short as 2 weeks and as long as, several months. So it just depends on your skill level and your comfort in the water.
I want to talk about one safety point that you and I discussed that I think everybody should know that's listening. But, I talked about the fact that when you get down to a certain level, and I found this out from some other people who dive, but you get down to a certain level below, like there's something that goes on with your brain. And the way that's been explained to me, it's almost like a euphoric drug. You kind of get happy and, almost, giggly or playful. So how important is it to have someone else diving with you when you dive? And then can you explain the phenomenon that I just talked about?
Yes. Well, first of all, that phenomenon is nitrogen narcosis. All right. And it's simply what that is this. When you get to a certain depth in the water, and that depth is usually around 100 feet. All right. What happens is there is an increase of a buildup of nitrogen in your body and in your bloodstream. All right. And nitrogen is something that is not used by our bodies. We use oxygen. We breathe in oxygen and we breathe out carbon dioxide. And so, in that process, once we breathe in oxygen, then it converts. Our body uses the energy in the cells and then breathes out carbon dioxide. But also, what's a part of the air that we breathe is nitrogen. And nitrogen is not used by our bodies. So if over time and at depth, that nitrogen can build up, and if it builds up to a certain point, it builds up into our internal tissues. Bottom line is you can start to feel like you have literally drank 10 beers in less than 30 seconds, or three 10 shots of Jack Daniels right in a row. All right. So what happens is now you tell me, if you had that much alcohol in that short period of time, naturally your judgment will be impaired. All
Exactly.
right.
Yes.
It's like drinking and driving. And it literally is. This is drinking and diving. All right.
Yeah.
And while you are under this spell or in this euphoric state, you tend to not make good judgment. And so you learn about this through our training. This is why it's important that you can only get certified as a scuba diver by being trained by a certified instructor. As a matter of fact, you actually get a license, just like your driver's license, which is your license to dive. And so, but yeah, that is that euphoric feeling. And but the simple resolution is if you start feeling like that, then you just literally come up, you elevate, come up towards the surface a little bit, usually about 10 feet, and that euphoric feeling will go away. And then the last thing I want to say is that in scuba diving, we always dive with a buddy, a companion. And that is a safety mechanism because, number one, if one of your dive buddy starts feeling euphoric, then you can actually alert him or her, and you can come up together. And then the second reason why, enjoyment. When you go down in the ocean, you will see wonderful things about in nature, and you want to share that. So these are the things that occurs while we're diving, and these are the things that you will learn during your dive training.
So Jay, this has been an outstanding conversation, probably one of the most interesting interviews I've ever done. I've interviewed people that have flown jets at 60,000 feet, at incredible speeds. Never interviewed someone who goes down, the other end of the earth, that far, and has not only done it for enjoyment, but is a scientist at this, and a lecturer and teaching. And as your acronym says behind, DVP, diving with a purpose, you dive with a purpose. And I find that fascinating. But, before we go, I want to make sure that the audience understands like some of the things you're thinking about, in the near future, that you're planning for yourself, but maybe even something that other people can get involved with.
Yes. Well, thank you for the opportunity. Yes, there is actually an exhibit that a museum exhibit that will be opening up in New York, the Intrepid Museum, and it is an exhibit on mysteries from the deep, exploring underwater archaeology. And in this exhibit, it is an interactive exhibit, and it literally shows the different sciences and the different activities that goes on underwater. And throughout this exhibit, the way it's designed to be an immersive experience. And you get to actually see and hear subject matter experts in the field as you go through these experiences. And this exhibit opens on June the 25th, and it will be in New York through the end of 2026, and then it will actually go on tour. This is a traveling exhibit. The two locations that I know of, or one location I know of, is the History Museum in Virginia. So, and dates will be announced, as time goes on. So, but you can Google Mysteries from the Deep, Exploring Underwater Archaeology, and at the Intrepid Museum in New York. So, I think that those who kind of have an interest, this is how you can get underwater without getting wet. And see a little bit about that. Another thing, if one can Google this, is a town in Mobile, Alabama called Africatown. And that is a really, really important area because in Alabama, which is a suburb of Mobile, Alabama, which actually houses the location of the last known slave ship to come to America, and it's called Catilda. And this ship is a wonderful story, an amazing story. But one of the things that it really, really, I think, sets this story out from everything else is that Catilda actually has descendants, living descendants in Africatown. So for those individuals that were captured and on that ship, their direct descendants, fifth and sixth generation descendants, are still living today and are living in Africatown. And there is a Africatown Heritage Museum there, so I encourage everyone to go and visit. And while you're visiting there, you will most likely run into a direct descendant of Catilda. So those are kind of the two things that can be done that is connected to the underwater world, but you don't have to get underwater to actually experience it.
So really good information. So we have New York and we have Alabama. New York, we can get immersed without getting wet. And in Alabama, we can see some living descendants from the last ship that came to the US. So those are both amazing things to make sure that the audience knows about. And hopefully I'll be able to go check out, one or two of those myself, and then you and I can have some conversations about it. But Jay, I truly appreciate your time today. Like I said, and I truly mean it, this is one of the most interesting conversations I've had from a leadership perspective, because you're absolutely a leader in this field. And we're going to put your information up on the screen. So if anyone wants to reach out to Jay directly, whether you have questions about his work in the African diaspora, his work with diving for slave ship wreckage, or just wanting to understand how to get started in the field that he's in from a recreational standpoint, he's a great instructor. I know one another friend of mine who just started with him recently. So we can say that we trust Jay. So Jay, any last words for the audience?
Yes, one thing I kind of want to point the audience to is I think it's very important in the work that I do specifically is has to do with bringing back memory and the origin story. And I would be remiss if I did not mention the origin story, what I'll say, of Black divers here in the United States started with Dr. Jones, Dr. Albert Jose Jones. And the public broadcasting system has just produced a documentary on Dr. Jones, and it's called The Black Godfather of Scuba. All right. And it's his story, his amazing story. And I would like to have the audience, if you just Google it and Google that title, it will take you directly to that film. And PBS broadcasts it all over, but it's living on the internet right now. And I encourage everyone to actually look at the documentary and understand the origin story. And Dr. Jones literally is our origin story when it comes to scuba diving, African Americans scuba diving in the United States and actually worldwide. So I do want to let the audience know this is another experience that you can have from your home without getting wet.
You said that multiple times without getting wet. All right. Well, thank you, sir. Truly appreciate your time. To everyone that's listening out there, yeah, again, we want to thank you for your time. Make sure you like and subscribe to the channel, My Great Aunt Edna, the podcast, whether you're listening on audio or on YouTube. We appreciate this. And with that, we want to say thank you. May your week be excellent and God bless.